notorious, so notorious. Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle.
All right, let's kick off this new episode, this final episode of Two Old Dolphins for season two, by saying Happy New Year to you listening and to you, Alex.
Yay, Happy New Year, Scott. Great to be doing this again after a couple of weeks of hibernation.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast since before the Giants game. So, and that was not intentional. Yeah. It was because, well, pretty much you were buried, right?
Yeah, well, without getting to all the details, my other life, or my real life, I guess, whatever you want to call it, you know, with U.S. Green Energy, we were closing out major commercial projects, and we were working from 5:30 in the morning to 6 at night. And I was actually helping on the construction site, which is, you and I joke about that, but it's not one of my strengths. But we were so, you know, we were finishing up so many major jobs that it took, you know, I had to do what I had to do. So it was
pretty much a make or break situation for your small company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was. We were doing, you know, jobs with major penalties because of tax credits, et cetera. And so it took everything we had. But again, talk about focus. We had one thing to tackle, and that was to finish these jobs. And we did. And that was a great accomplishment. So everything else took second, you know, sure, backseat or second place. Unfortunately, so the podcast was one of those things, but you know, this is something that's dear to my heart. So I'm really glad that we're doing this. We'll be able to.
Me too. And just for everyone's sake, you know, we actually scheduled them, and then we'd reached the point where Alex was hours past the scheduled date, and I knew that, you know, why. And then he was just like, "Dude, I have to sleep." Right.
It was crazy.
You were drained.
As a matter of fact, That's how I greeted the new year, Scott, sleeping.
Yeah.
Because I passed out around 9 o'clock. But anyway, hey, we're here. We're recharged batteries. I'm in LA right now. That's why I went out in the studio together, because I decided to visit the Reagan Museum, which I strongly recommend, regardless of political affiliation. What a great museum. You feel proud to be an American. I got to walk upon the real Air Force One that he rode on. The helicopter, it's just the whole recapturing of that time and period. A very, you know, it's really, really beautiful. It's just fantastic. It was, you feel really good about the country, the way it was back then. And, you know, just, you know, great feeling, great, you know, you just walk out of there feeling fantastic. That love, that romantic story between him and Nancy, you know, is captured with his love letters. I mean, it really... I give it a 5-star out of 5 stars. Just a great place to visit and spend some time. And it's a great museum. It's really a great tribute to the president and to our country. So That's why I'm here, man. So
that's
I decided to hang out in LA.
Strong recommendation, my friend. Strong.
Yeah. I couldn't.
I love starting off the podcast with some personal recommendations and stories like that before we just dig into the Dolphins. And honestly, I wish I had one for today, but I'm in the middle of books. I'm in the middle of shows. I'm in the middle of all projects. I'm in the middle of all this stuff. So I don't have anything in particular to say beyond, you know, I hope everyone had a happy holidays. And again, we're sorry. I mean, it's not really a apology situation. We just couldn't make the podcast happen. And now we're going to close out the year.
Let's rock the season.
And talk about our Dolphins and all the crazy stuff that happened over the last 3 weeks. I think we'll just, since, you know, we're well past the Giants game, we'll just mention it. I mean, going up into New York felt like 2 weeks in a row. First the Jets and then the Giants, and losing both those games was a bit, I don't know, it was painful. How did you feel when we went up there and just got spanked by Eli?
It was kind of strange because I expected us to do a better showing. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the Dolphins were really, we looked outplayed, outcoached. It was just, it's not something that was normal, especially the way we've been playing up to that point, you know, that we're just so competitive. I expected more of a fight from the Dolphins than we had. So it was a little bit of a big letdown to see that. And to see Barkley go, everybody went crazy on us, you know, mm-hmm. Even Eli. And he threw his two interceptions. He tried his best to keep us in the game, you know. But, that game was quickly a game that I really thought we were going to be more competitive. So I was very disappointed to see the effort.
Yeah, yeah. Sanders was back.
Or lack
too.
Of.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a couple of highlights because, you know, in this weird season we've had, one of the things that I've made a point of doing is just trying to highlight ups and downs for players, like figuring out who do we want on the team, you know, for next year, for the future, what positive things can we come out of it, you know, try not to spend too much time on the negative stuff, but certainly identify those things that have to be fixed. And the offensive line has been my theme since the off season, right? I knew we had a bad offensive line under Gase, and it certainly didn't improve. It got worse because of all the shit that the front office did, mostly. And then I noted during this game that at least during the first half, there was hardly any pressure. Every team has been making Fitz run like crazy, to stay alive back there in the pocket. And at least in the first half of this game, they weren't getting at him very much. And so I saw that as not necessarily a statement about the Giants being weak in that area, and more at least hopefully thinking that it was another positive step in the direction of development for our team. But, you know, I may be wrong about that. It may be just the Giants suck.
The Giants would suck. Yes. They suck.
Well, the other highlights, I noted again, Gesicki, not only is he making catches, but he's not running out of bounds. He's actually fighting for yards. It's something we didn't see at all last year. And we didn't see much of at the beginning of the year this year. And now he's getting the targets and he's catching the ball and he's fighting for yards, which is.
Yeah. And with Gesicki, what I really love about him is how animated he's playing. You know, the way he's emphasizing the first downs, you know, when he gets it, he's running with authority. I mean, last year we saw a kid that basically, you know, had that deer in headlights look. He was just unsure of himself, no confidence. Now he's playing at another level. And I strongly believe, I was looking at my notes for next year, that as far as fantasy is concerned, which sometimes it correlates pretty good with real life, he's a tier two wide receiver and right there on the border of becoming a tier one, a guy that's dependable every week that's going to catch, you know, 3 to 5 catches minimum and, you know, probably 6 to 8 touchdowns. So Gesicki is, I think he's arrived. It's not that he's going to have a breakout season next year, but what great to see what we've seen with this kid. There's a great growth.
Mm-hmm. So I identified just a couple of more plays, then we'll move on from this game real quick. I wanted to, Baker made a couple of nice plays. I wanted to make sure that we continue to put the focus on him. Beagle made a great play. He looks like he's developing into something, you know. That seems, it's almost like it's a one for one, you know, that trade that we made with New Orleans.
Weird, huh? Who would have thought?
Yeah. That
who would have thought?
The linebacker off the scrap heap that they gave us is going to turn into something. So really nice to see. And then, even though it was a blowout and there wasn't a lot of, you know, positive things, we'll talk about Fitz later because we want to touch on everything that he's done in the second half of the season and what we want to see out of him, you know, hopefully next year, right? Was Parker continuing to demonstrate a domination?
Yeah.
because even in scrub time, he manhandled a jump ball to pull it in for a touchdown in that Giants game. And I just went, you know,
We're going to stay on course. We're going to stay on course, but I can't wait to talk about what he did in the New England game. So let's. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with everything you're saying.
All right, let's put the Giants. The Giants game is to bed, to rest.
Good night.
Let's talk about the Bengals, because that was a crazy game. I mean, crazy.
I never had more. No, we always say, and we've been, not that we want tanking, but, you know, we want a good draft position. You and I are always the same position. When during the week, oh, we got to lose this game. Then when the game starts, we're rooting like hell to win.
Every time.
And we get mad every time. But this game really played, this game really had a roller coaster effect on me. Because, okay, moving ahead, we were playing great. We had a big lead. Then all of a sudden, we gave up 23 points or whatever the hell that was in the last minute or two. It was pathetic. And now they tie us.
And
I'm like, let's
overtime.
Lose the game, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, at this point, let's lose it. I was already thinking, yo, should I buy a Chase Young shirt?
Yeah. I mean, we lost it at that time, we had the potential of ending up with the second pick. Now, all kinds of, you know, stuff had to happen. But, you know, at that point in time, that was crossing my mind, because before the game, before the kickoff, I'm like, I don't, you know, if we lose, it does benefit us. And then once the game started and once we started kicking their ass, I'm like, this is great. I just love seeing my Dolphins kick some ass, and I'm fine with it. I don't care about the draft position. I'm just enjoying a swoop ass. Pre-kickoff, I didn't care if we lost. I was thinking about the draft once the game started, and especially once we started to dominate, you know, I loved it. I was loving it. I love my team.
We look great.
We look good.
We look really good.
Yeah, we were moving the ball. We were running. It was passing. We were, you know, feeding Gesicki and Parker and Ford, and it was just a blast. And I was relaxed, and I was enjoying it. I'm like, wow, it's been a long time since I actually watched a game and I was relaxed and enjoying it, right? And then
phenomenal.
And then the wheels came off the bus, and it was a serious WTF moment. I'm like, what is happening? How did they?
That's the roller coaster, Scotty.
23 on
Scotty, that's the roller coaster. Because at that point, I was like, okay, that's it. We did a tank job. They got the onside kick, which I never thought they would. They did everything. Okay, you know what? Let's lose this game.
So the bit about using Wilkins was a little bit fun and crazy, right?
Even though he kind of like fumbled the ball and recovered it, but maybe it wasn't really a fumble, right? They considered a touchdown pass.
That was my note. I wrote Wilkins TD pass catch ? Or fumble recovery in end zone ? It doesn't matter. TD Finn 7-0.
Amazing. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. No, the game, you know, we coached fantastic until those last 2 minutes. We showed vulnerability. We showed we had a meltdown against a really bad team. This was a good team. You're saying, well, you know, just
one of the
bad.
Keys to success to this game was a surprise to me. Right. And it was how our defense shut down the run game. They couldn't run on us.
Yeah.
Baker, Beagle, and Van Ginkle, who is another great out of nowhere surprise that I'd like to see continue.
He's playing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this team, were just all over the place making hits and stops and hits in the backfield and putting on some pressure. And I had to highlight that. Yep.
It was a game that, you know, I called you up immediately and you, I don't know, you, I don't think we spoke immediately. We spoke a few hours later and I was still hurting. I was like, I can't believe I feel so bad after a victory. Because we fell back and we thought we were going to really drop. And apparently we stayed at the same place we started the game at the fifth pick in the draft.
Yep.
So the football gods kind of were nice to us.
But it would have been different had we lost the game. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, in hindsight, how much different because of what we did the last game? Let's not jump quite to the last game yet because –
Well,
I do want to say yet again, Fitz showed me why in business I recognize leadership, why in sports I recognize leadership. when Gaskin got his first in touchdown, what did Fitz do?
He just ran and took that ball away from that ball boy and gave it to him. It was beautiful. It just shows that he's not only a leader, Scott, but what I loved about it is that he showed that he is in tune. He understands what's going on all around him. He can, you know, that's why they love him. That's why they want to play for him.
Yep. It's just a perfect example on the bench. Yeah. Perfect example of not only leadership, but the fact that, you know, just mentally, emotionally, he's committed. He's completely committed to what he's doing. And
he's in the zone. He's in the zone. He understands what's going all around him. He understands what's, you know, the importance of that touchdown to that kid, his first NFL touchdown. It was just wonderful to see that. And that's why we all love, that's why the Dolphins love him. That was just great. It was, that was probably the highlight of the game. Wow, Wilkins getting the touchdown was pretty cool.
So
it showed the creativity you know.
My last comment is, this is a fan observation, not like a professional analyst observation. I as I was watching that overtime, it looked like neither team wanted to win. It actually looked like it.
It looked like the efforts were weird. Yeah.
I mean, were they? I know players don't do that, right? And I know for the most part, coaches aren't going to do that, right?
So nobody is.
Were they just? Perhaps they were just exhausted or drained or people were out of idea. I don't know. But both teams looked just terrible in overtime until we just did enough. Finally, Fitz came up with a couple of passes, big one to Ford, and then we kicked the field goal to win. You know, I also want to say, and this isn't necessarily specific to the game, but I want to give the broadcasters credit, though I didn't write down who it was, and I'll never remember. But it was a sign of this season. It was sort of builds into our summary of the season that the Dolphins have started 80 different players. That is an amazing number. During the season.
Don't forget, we have played, but don't forget, we have played 18 rookies this year.
I know. It's gone up, I think. I'm not sure about that one, but
It may have. Those are just staggering numbers.
We've used, staggering. We have a 50 in the NFL after the last day of preseason, before regular season, you cut down to a roster of 53. So that means not only have we used every person that was on that original roster, I mean, likely, but an additional 30 almost. That's unreal. That is a phenomenal.
No, it's unreal.
Maybe it's happened in history, but not anything I can ever think of.
You know what's even more phenomenal? We won 5 games with doing that, which is, to me, it's amazing.
And then when we get to our whole season summary, that's a topic that
Exactly.
You got.
But now let's move into that.
Patriots.
Now, Patriots.
The first thing is that I don't care who you are. I don't care how big of a fan you are. Unless you're on drugs, or you're just a nut job, like just not living in the real world, not a person on this planet could realistically say they thought the Miami Dolphins would go into New England when New England needs a win. Wants a win, need to win, playing their hearts out, and beat them. This Dolphins team went into New England and beat them. I know that's starting with the end up front, but holy crap, dude.
But not only that, Scott, we look like crap and a full. We almost folded against Cincinnati. Now we're meeting the best team in the NFL, one of them. And I'm like, we in their home. So I said, we don't have a prayer in hell to win this game.
No way. I thought it was going to be a curb stomping. I didn't even think it would be competitive. I wanted it to be competitive. Yeah. We both said that in our conversations outside the podcast.
Well, two things that we said and two things that I thought, and knowing Belichick for all these years, we knew that he was going to do something, or we thought he was going to do something to take away Parker and Gesicki. And I want to ask you a question. Guess who I'm leading you on this. Who was the leading tackler for New England?
who was leading to in the game or
in the game in the game in the game
their starting corner? I'm not Gilmore. Gonna pull Gilmore.
Gilmore had 8 tackles because
I need
each
that.
Time that Parker every time name. Parker burned him every time Parker burned him that's the way that he wanted to stop him. What he did is he said, you know, man, I'm going to put my best cornerback on him, and he's going to shut him out like he did before.
And like he's done to other players all season long, other number ones.
Like he's done to superstars.
Yep.
And Parker had his lunch. That's why Gilmore had all those tackles, because he was tackling him after every time he got burned.
Unreal.
Great. It was classic. Yeah. Classic.
It was.
Who would have thought? And then there's another guy that we need to mention who had a pick six, Roe.
Yeah.
Our first touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roe was
originally our corner, right? And contrary to Fitzpatrick, who did not want to move, blah, 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 he was moved to safety and all over the place.
Yep.
I heard that in his area, there was like a quarterback rating of 53% throwing against him in the last 9 games. So he's real, and now he had a pick six. And I mean, so he really played his, you know, he's really stepped up. I mean, it looks like a baby.
And just for the fun of it, that's the first pick six that Brady has ever thrown against the Dolphins.
Against a formal
against
a player.
Dolphins.
Formal guys that got interceptions that day.
Yeah.
Two formal pass.
First pick six Brady has ever thrown against us in all of his years of playing. The broadcaster said that, right? So giving credit again. And I sat there and went, what? Is that actually possible? I mean, I can remember plenty of interceptions. You know, even one in the corner of the end zone to win a game that I was watching on my phone while my – you know,
kid that we just picked up like a week before from San Francisco.
From San Francisco off their practice squad. Remember that? And that won the game for us. Because we were all sitting there
amazing.
Going, oh, here's Brady does it to us again. The last minute goes down, drives down the field, scores a touchdown, wins the game, blah, blah, blah. But the Dolphins
got picked.
Keep finding magic against the Patriots over the last few years. And this one is no exception. This one is actually better. I mean, the miracle play is memorable forever, but that was a miracle. This was just solid play for everyone.
This was football. We're taking it down your throat. And there was never, during that drive, I want to point this out, during that last drive, there was never that moment, fourth down, oh, my God. You never felt that desperation. It was always a drive that was in control. There was no fourth down. It looked like all the way it was like you cannot stop us.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
The people that I want to highlight in this game, again, I know I just mentioned Van Ginkle against the Bengals, and I want to say it again. I continue to find things I like about him every game. I mean, he stopped a drive with a read. A quick read and penetration behind the line. They needed 1 yard, and he shot through and stopped it. So
that was brilliant.
It was.
That was brilliant. Yes. Yeah.
And then again, this is not beating a dead horse. This is highlighting again Parker, because Parker took on tacklers to get extra yards. I mean, if you think about it, you mentioned how Gesicki has had his mentality reset. So is Parker.
Oh, this kid too.
Yes.
I was going to save that for this game, because this game, he put an exclamation mark on. If he's doing this against Cincinnati, you're saying, well, you're doing it against one of the worst teams in the NFL, the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
The
first now he's round. Doing it against the number one
defense. The number one defense and against a number one shutdown corner who was on an island with him because his coach believed that he was going to shut him out. Because if not, you know, Belichick would never have done that in a million years. He would have kept, he would have doubled him, would have done whatever. And he kept burning him and burning him. I mean, that, and the way, like I said, the way he did it over him, around him, through him, you could do a catch. You could do a whole highlight reel on those catches that he was pulling off, you know, just amazing. I mean, Parker, Parker has arrived, and that's another guy that is a tier one receiver now. You can legitimately say tier one. So I'll go to the same fantasy analogy.
So now,
you know, I don't know how early you want to get him, but yeah. Boy, you definitely want to keep him.
That's right. And then as we do our sum up, we also want to talk about what we want to do with him, right? As a GM, what do we want to do with Parker? Because we signed him to that cheap-ass two-year contract, right?
No. We extended him to 4 years.
Oh, that's been done? How did I miss that?
That's been done. No, Parker, that's what I love about this team, is that in the past, we would have been going into the offseason, and now we got to negotiate with Parker. It's going to be a nightmare. Now we have Parker secured for 4 years, and there's no shopping. We got the home discount. It was beautiful. It was well done. This is a different Dolphin team. This is not the schmucks that we were.
It's different. Managed in a better way. Yep.
In a real way, like a real football team. You know, looking ahead instead of saying, well, you know, Parker's having a breakout year. Let's negotiate with him when the off season. No.
Well, we'll be talking about Greer a lot during this off season. You know. We have our worries about him, possibly even criticisms, right? But the one thing that he's shown that, you know, as the man in charge of pro football operations, is that he's kicking ass compared to everyone that we had in the past. Absolutely.
Really is. And I've got my – well, not, the game was, again, walking out of there. Listen, I was working that whole day. It was a Sunday, obviously.
Right.
And I kept looking at my phone, and then when I came home, I watched that whole film, fell asleep right after it ended. I could not go to sleep. It was amazing watching the heart that we showed, the coaching that we showed. Fitzgerald showing that he should be our quarterback next year. By the way, when they asked him, he said yes.
Yep.
He wants to be our quarterback next year.
Yep.
And so, the game was fantastic. I think the shocker came. What happened after the game? Well, I'm done, but I'm telling you, it shocked the hell out of me what happened after the game.
Yes.
But I have my reasoning, and I'll explain it to you in a second. But
I'm looking forward to hearing that, because I'm still kind of, you know, I've read a ton, and I listened to, you know, different people's opinions, and I'm still like there.
So we end up the season winning 5 of 9 games. And averaging at the end almost like 28 points a game. We just a great offense passing the ball, but dead last running the ball.
Right.
And now we make the switch. And everybody goes, O'Shea's out. And who the hell's in?
Yep.
Dan Henning.
What?
And now when we look at him.
Who?
Right? Henning, right?
No. Chan Gailey. Where the hell did you get
Chan Gailey? Oh my God. I just went on a mental block. Yeah.
Two old Dolphins.
Dan
Henning is even alive. I didn't meet him. I mean, that's when we met Wonstadt and a few other players, but I never met Henning. Maybe you did.
So he was our offensive coordinator when we had Feely.
Yes. Even before
our quarterback coach was Henning, and our offensive coordinator was Gailey.
Gailey. Yeah.
Yeah. When we had Feely. Yes. That's
early
what
90s.
That's what the.
Yeah, but
in 1980.
Not talking about.
No. Not 1980.
Fiedler.
1980.
You're talking about Jay Fiedler.
Jay Fiedler. Yeah.
Fiedler. Yes.
Yeah. Fielder, yeah. Okay, so now we got Gailey, who's an established offensive coordinator in our league. And he is also a guy who runs an offense that, you know, he's dedicated to running the ball. And, well, you know, passing as well, but it's also a good running team, more balanced than we saw this year. Now, it could have been because of our personnel, obviously.
Yes.
But I think that's why they brought this guy in. You know, I mean, because he's been there and he's had two seasons with us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And schematically, he may have, you know, a run game, a complete scheme for the run game, right? But it certainly had to do with personnel. I mean, holy crap, it's not just the bad offensive line, but how many running backs did we go through? All of them. We went through all of them and then got more and went through them too. So,
no, it would have been a hard, you know, it's going to be hard for anybody to run the ball with this team, but you know, you got to remember this guy has had success in Miami. He's had two teams that were 11-5 playoff teams that he was the offensive coordinator, the OC. So, I mean, we have a guy that has a history with our team and also some head coaching experience.
The history's not pertinent, you know? Though. I mean, we had a different owner. We had different management. We had 100% different players. Everything was different back at that time. Everything was different. So the only history, quote unquote, is that he wore some clothing that had the Dolphins logo on him, and even that was different back then. The logo was freaking different. So I don't.
But he's just had such a, you know, such a long history.
I guess Gruer was here, and he was like a kid scout at the time. He was with the team. So Gruer must remember in some respect.
But I think bringing a guy, and we talked about this before.
Not just bringing Dolphins, him in from somewhere, bringing him out of a three-year retirement.
No, but here's the thing. We have talked about the Dolphins not having anyone. Well, we did. We tried, but we just didn't have anybody that had head coaching experience around Flores. Right. Now he has him. He's got that guy that has been there, done that, has been a coach, an offensive coordinator, or even a defensive back coach, just a guy that's coached a lot and has had success in this league. So that's what I'm thinking is that, you know, maybe that's the whole reason why this whole thing was done. It was a shocker to me because I thought that we really did a great job with, you know, to steal the quote from Stevens, you know, he made chicken salad with chicken shit.
That's right. That's right. And I thought so too. And I, you know, mentally, I was giving him credit for developing the players like Gesicki and Parker, and Ford, and you know, and getting Fitz working, you know what. So maybe the position coaches are the ones that get the credit for that, or maybe Fitz himself gets the credit. Fitz isn't putting that mental attitude into Parker and Gesicki, though. Somebody did. I mean, the head coach is out there personally coaching those guys. So Flores gets the generals, you know, credit for it, but who are the people that were actually working with them that made them flip from bust?
But you know what the only thing that shocks me – the message, or whatever you want to call it, that Flores sent is that was the first coach he signed. The first coach we got was O'Shea. And then the first guy he fires, you know, after the football season is him.
Well, after. During, he fired the offensive coach.
No, yeah.
The line coach.
Yeah, right before our first game or something. Or right, in the
right after, maybe. Yeah.
Whatever it was. It was crazy. Yeah. It was completely nuts. So he's done things that is not very conventional, including, you know, the bottom half of the roster where those 80 guys come in, just having complete turnover. You know, you're not good enough to be a Dolphin next.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing with heart. You're not starting. Benching guys like Harris, like what he's done, and making him inactive. I mean, he's just shown, he's sent a clear message. If you don't play, you don't practice hard, you're not playing. So those guys were slacking at practice. That's it. You're not playing. I mean, it's just amazing. The guy, I think we got ourselves a head coach, but that firing, it is a head scratcher, but I think, you know, it's good to have a coach in there with experience that's going to be able to help.
I gotta be honest with you. I feel like if I'm a police detective, I feel like there's some other story behind this.
There's something deeper. Lurking in the darkness here.
Yeah,
you're probably right. I mean, I feel like there could be some sign that something is wrong.
They had a disagreement.
One doesn't have to
over something, or you know, there's something else there that contributed to this that we're probably never going to hear of. I went on Twitter and sort of expressed it. I said, I see 10 tons of speculation, exactly what we're doing right now, right? Trying to figure this thing out. Why did he get fired? Why did we choose a guy like Chan Gailey? Why? And, you know, every podcaster and every writer and every wannabe has, I think it's because of this and I think it's because of that. And I saw so many of those things that I started to feel like sick. Like, okay, this is overload with people, you know, just guessing. I wonder who would know. I mean, who might actually know what happened? And I said, well, in terms of somebody that knows that's willing
to say something,
no, okay. Somebody that's willing to publicly, someone that's willing to
discuss it.
Yes, that would be Armando, because we know historically that he has people inside the Dolphins, or had.
And by the way, you do realize Flores' commitment to talk to the press is over until like for months now. So it was, this timing was great for him.
Oh,
so he has no,
he's not available. Do your year-end statement and then don't be available.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like pretty much. Yeah.
Yes. Fire your shot and scurry under a rock. So.
And then have us speculate for the rest of the next 3 or 4 months or however long we think.
So I tweeted, and I tweeted right at Armando, and I said, this has a stink to it, and I wonder who has the real story, because I'm getting really tired of all the speculation. Are you writing an article about this? And probably about half an hour later, the fish tank replied to our tweet, even though I didn't tag them in it or anything, and they said, it had a link to Armando Salgaro article that had been published for maybe 15 minutes. And so at the time I tweeted, he was probably like doing his final edit before publishing on it. And it goes into a historical detail of his career, of Chan Gailey's career, and talks about where he coached and how and what type of offenses were run and how well they did. So it's... I'm like, dude did his homework. I mean, this happened and he just started working.
No, I mean, he's a good coordinator. There's no question.
I mean, writer. He's a good writer. Oh, well, you're talking about Gailey.
I'm talking about Gailey. He's a good coordinator. Yeah. It's just I honestly thought that if anyone
the article doesn't really say that, Alex. It doesn't say he's a good coordinator. It just raises a lot of questions. No, it raises a lot of questions. It doesn't say he's a bad coordinator, and it doesn't say he's a good coordinator, but it raises questions. Like, is he really an improvement? What's the difference? How is he better? And so
my only problem
it still didn't answer my question. Yeah. I still think there's a stink on it. Nothing changed my mind about that.
If you had to tell me, when we talk about highlights in this season, we talk about highlights normally in the offensive side of the ball that were just amazing highlights. You know, Gesicki, Parker, Fritz. We didn't really talk about the defensive side of the ball.
Preston Williams being dominant in the first part of the season until he got hurt. A guy like Ford stepping in and you know, making catch after catch after catch when he's, you know, God knows what string he is or was, or I mean, he was a practice squad guy that got cut.
I mean, this defense got shellacked by the Giants and Cincinnati. That offense won both games.
Hey, the defense doesn't surprise me a bit, because there's two things you need on defense, and we didn't have either one of them very much. And one is you have to be able to force a quarterback to make a decision in, you know, under 2.5 seconds, right? You have to consistently do that.
We have to create pass rush time by blitzing.
Yes. Yep. So that's one. We don't have a pass rush. And two is,
correct,
how many defensive backs did we go through? We lost all of our safeties and all of our starting corners and all, you know, we had no starters. And you can't cover, although can't cover accurate, but what's going to happen, right?
But however, now that you touched the defensive back, I mean, we did have that off the field incident with Howard.
Yeah, that's my number one topic for off season post, you know, this coaching change is how bad. Have you followed the situation closely? I mean, I read all the initial stuff about how he grabbed her arm and, you know, but there was no blow struck and, you know, somebody stumbled or whatever. He didn't.
Well, you know, the way I look
this situation,
at it, once you.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Scott, look, once you lay your hand on a woman, it's an issue. We sure. all have daughters. We all love a woman, whether it's your mother, your wife, your girlfriend. You should never lay a hand on them.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So he's wrong there. Obviously, it wasn't one of these cases where he knocked her out or, yeah, that's good. But obviously, there's problems there, and we need to to be addressed. I'm expecting four games suspension. That's what I'm expecting. It might open the window for us having to draft another cornerback.
Two more, I guess. I mean, I'm glad that we saw Needham rise up and, you know, and Rowe get better. And but those guys still aren't.
Well, Rowe's a safety.
And Howard,
Rowe's a safety. And I think he's legitimate. Yeah. I think Rowe is a legitimate safety like we discussed earlier.
He converted.
That, you know, we've had certain.
That's going to be his home. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so looking forward, that's going to be another issue that we need to figure out what's going to happen with him. A big question mark. Williams hopefully coming back well.
Yes.
And
who's going to be on the team next year? Who do we want to keep? How do we want to set up ourselves for success?
Yeah, Harris is gone. Charles, he's gone. The rest of the team, I think the only safe position is quarterback. Hopefully Fitzgerald, that he will come back. And having said that, he wants to come back. Seems like it's a mutual with the team. Everyone else
never would have expected that during the off season last year, when we signed him to be an interim, that I would get so much admiration for a guy that I was always rooting against. I mean, he was a Bill and a Jet, right? So,
yeah,
the whole Fitz magic craziness when he was at Tampa Bay was, you know, I was like, look at this guy. He reminds me of that MMA fighter. What's his name?
Yeah. McGregor or whatever.
Yes, kind of the way he handled, you know, and so, but now I see dude is just, he's totally committed. He's a leader. He sells out. He's smart. He's, you know, he's everything that you want in a leader, and he's everything I would want, especially if he's good with the young guys around him, which he really seems to be with his teammates. If you draft a guy, have that guy sit behind Fitz for the year. Right, Rosen.
Well, I think the timing to talk. One of the things, Scott, that has been mentioned is the lack of development of Rosen, and that maybe that's one of the reasons.
Yes, but who's mentioning that? Where do you see that? Because I read just even recently exactly the opposite. Right, that Rosen has been developing behind Fitz and learning from him and continuously getting better. And the one curveball that this kid has always had thrown at him is he's had a different offensive coordinator every single year of his career.
Well, he's going to get it again.
And he's going to get it again. Exactly. So
that throws that philosophy out the window.
So so I don't have the 100% negative outlook on him. I don't. I think that he's still – right. That there's still a chance, not a great chance, not a terrible chance, that there's a reasonable chance that he will develop into something. And so I'm not immediately, if I was a professional and I was sitting there and I watched every practice, and it was my job to evaluate him, I'd have an answer. I'd say, I know, I believe or I don't believe. But we're not there. We don't see
him
in practice.
My eyeball test showed that the kid has potential. Yes, we saw it. We saw it in
preseason.
A couple of
plays. We saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, you know, we've always said a quarterback has the intangibles, has that it factor, which I believe Tua has it. I believe the Trevor, the kid in Clemson has it. I mean, there's certain quarterbacks.
Agree.
Look at them.
Yep.
They have that. They have that leadership. Fritz has it.
Well, yes, he does.
We know.
Clearly, Burrow has it too. You see the way they're just getting better and better and better, owning everyone they're facing. So,
but then again, if you would have asked me last year, I would have said that there's a guy in Cleveland Baker that I thought had it, and I don't know what happened there. But
I think he has that. He's got that immature thing that kid from Texas had.
Oh yeah, Mr. Money. Yeah.
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 Exactly. He's not the same guy, you know, but that immaturity factor seems to be consistent.
I think he's more talented, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Football, Manziel, that's who I'm thinking of.
And his coach, he stood up for him, and it was Hitchin was one of the first casualties of Black Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and he did stand up for his coach. But he should have done it on the field, not on the podium. Should have done it on the field, because on the field he sucked, and so did that whole team. Boy,
really tired of those commercials with him in it too. Can you fix the number four toilet?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what?
Like you live in there. You are the toilet. So.
Yeah, your whole team is.
There's another guy that. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's a bust. I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You'd a more stable or better coaching staff.
He's not like Donald. Donald's a bust now. He's like Gase. I had to do a Gase.
Feel like that's a Darnold thing. I feel like that's a Gase thing. And Gase,
I know
the proof is even more in the pudding with him. Look at Tannehill right now.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Tannehill leaves after years with this guy. He leaves and he ended up with the second best rating in quarterback or something in the last games.
Tennessee's extending him. They're extending him. I saw an article today.
Okay, listen.
To be their starter for the future.
And we're paying $5 million for him to go and go to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
We're paying $5 million of that
salary. I did forget about that, but as soon as you mentioned it, ding, ding. Yep.
There it goes. And you know, that's one of the things in Miami that I still think the jury's not only out, I'm scared that, looking forward, we ended the year. We ended up on a positive note. We could have won 7 of the last 9 games. We won 5 of the last 9 games. If I would have told you that after the first 2 games where we were like 160 points in the negative.
Yeah, I would have been like, what?
Blown out 43-0 at home by New England, the same team we beat.
Yes.
Destroyed, humiliated by the Ravens in the first game.
Yes.
In our house, both games.
Yeah.
So we were down 163 points to 0.
We know why. Yeah.
We know why, but we didn't think that why was going to – we were hoping it was going to turn, but it really turned.
It did.
It turned to the point that our team was competitive in most
this
games.
This coaching staff can develop players. They've proven it. They've proven they can develop players. So
even though
eventually
we've
proven it will
a
become,
couple of those guys on the offensive side of the ball, Scott.
Yep.
It was the offensive side of the ball. This is mind-boggling.
No, defense,
to jump on,
defense too. I mean,
I know we
Beagle,
did have
Van
Rowe,
Ginkle, and Rowe,
Needham.
And Needham.
Yes,
and,
Rowe. Yep. Yes.
So.
Yeah. No. I agree with you. It is. It's just the more glaring is obviously on the opposite side of the ball.
Yes.
But
offensive
let's just
line.
Hope this is
again, for the 1,000th time for 20 years in a row. Offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll repeat it again. We haven't had a single guy drafted that's made an impact that's not in the first round in the last 20-some years. I mean, it's got to end this year. And I think of our first 3 picks, we got to take an offensive lineman in there.
I do, too.
100%. So the season ending, looking back, if we have to rewind this whole season, it couldn't have gone more textbooks for the Dolphins, except, you know, obviously some of us were saying, you know, first-round pick, but that's not going to happen. But instead, we got a first-round coach. We got a coach that looks like
instead of getting
leadership.
Tua, or you know, now that's still a possibility because of injury, but now it would be Burrow by the end of the season, right? Instead of getting him, we know we found a coach. So
we got a coach that we're going to win. We're going to be competitive.
I've been saying coaching staff, but you know, now there's a little notch in that statement because what the hell?
Yeah, no, it's scary. We don't know. We want to jump on the bandwagon and say, you know, coach, we have faith in Flores we trust, and we have to do that. We have to say Flores we trust.
Yeah,
we have to. But I am scratching my head.
I want to point out and say, you know, we're not crowning him the next Don Shula. This is not that kind of exaggeration. But he's earned our trust. He's earned our trust for another year.
He's better than Gase.
Yes.
He's better than Gase.
You bet.
That bug eye SOB.
That guy that destroys people's careers instead of.
You know what killed me? I was reading that article. The Gase thing. I was reading an article. The article of that guy that's going in a war with him over the New York Daily, and he was mentioning how Gase was going to win this meaningless game against Buffalo. He called it the Buffalo JV team.
Uh huh.
And he did. Gase won the game 13-6. Yep. He was an offensive explosion by the Jets against Buffalo, not playing anybody, and again hurt the draft position.
Yep.
I mean, they're just a joke. But look, I do want to end up saying that the season on a rewind, great season, couldn't have been better for us. As far as now, we found that we really have a leadership. We have the coach, like we said. We also have the fifth pick in the draft. We held tight even after beating New England, which was my only part that went like, oh darn it, we're gonna drop to
a real head scratcher. Yeah, yep,
there we were. We ruined New England. Hopefully I think they're gonna lose today to Tannehill.
Yes, if you look at the season through a really myopic lens and just focus in on the last game, that could not have possibly worked any better for us.
It couldn't have. It's so exciting to see us beat those guys again, to see us coach well, and you know, we had our ups and downs. The coaching staff had it, as we fans had it.
Yeah.
But the season ended up on a high note.
Well,
and
remember the trepidation we had over the summer. We're like, we got to do this podcast, and we're going to be covering a terrible team. And then it went from thinking we were going to win four to five games to after we cut. Well, yes, that's what we both said during.
Oh yeah,
back in,
after the cut, we said zero. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I couldn't see us winning a single game, and the first two games looked that way. They said, and the national press crucified us as the worst team in the history of the NFL. Talk about rush to judgment.
Right.
The season is two games in, and we were already crowned it the worst team that's ever played. Well, there's four other teams that suck more than us, apparently.
Right. Exactly. So.
And I would take our coach over any of those guys.
100% agree. 100%.
Yeah. So I'm really happy. But Scott, can we take a minute and look at the draft position? And I just got to tell you that with the fifth position, every way I look at it, I think taking Tua makes tremendous amount of sense. We'll go more into it in another podcast. But
yes, we will.
I really like that. But having said that, one thing that's clear, there are some good quarterbacks that we can take with our second pick, the 18th pick from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of maneuvering that we can do. If we find that guy that we really want, like I said, we have assets. Those five picks are assets.
Yes.
And so I'm excited. I think
somebody's going to take Hebert before then.
Somebody's going to take who?
Herbert. Well, however you pronounce it, we got to get
I call him Herbert. But yeah. Yes. Well, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good in the bowl game.
Physically, yes, and physically, he has everything that you look for in a franchise quarterback: the size, the strength, the arm strength, the vision. He has all that. Just didn't.
Even the Georgia kid looked good. Frome, saw him. He looked like he finally turned the corner, and after a rough season, listen, that's the scouting, and maybe I don't know if that's part of the reason why we have Gailey there. I don't know, to really evaluate a quarterback and pick that the guy that we really are. It's going to be
okay.
Our
so I will point this out: the number one point Armando made in his article was that Chan Gailey adamantly discouraged the drafting of Drew Brees. did not want him on the Dolphins. He was an influencer on Wannstedt. He got up on a table and told the room not to draft Drew Brees. So there's your quarterback evaluation skills of Chan Gailey in a nutshell.
Oh, maybe he learned from that.
Let's hope.
You're judging a guy on something he did, you know, freaking ages ago.
Yes.
Maybe he said, you know, well, let me learn the errors of my way. And obviously, he's, you know, yeah.
Everyone's entitled to be wrong. Yes. Once in
a
while.
Boy, was he wrong.
You got to be right a lot more wrong than you're wrong, though. So
has he admitted screwing up? Which, well, I guess the history.
Well, who wouldn't?
That,
but, yeah.
I mean, Wannstedt has come publicly several times and said that that was one of his biggest mistakes.
Yeah, it ended his career as a Dolphin coach ultimately. So.
Yeah, it would have been a lot different had Brees
Jamar
been a
Fletcher
Dolphin,
instead of Drew Brees. Yep, that was his choice.
So you know. The season, great season. I think it's going to be great this offseason. I just got, you know, you and I talked about it off, you know, privately, but it's super exciting that we're going to have a choice. The Dolphins are going to be in Arizona, we've had that trip before.
Yep.
They're going to be in this great San Francisco. We've had that trip before.
And that
they're
was
also going
the
to be,
legendary trip. That wasn't just great. That was legendary. Yes.
And then we're also going to have
Vegas.
Vegas again.
Yep. And for sure.
Three times a Dolphin.
Yep.
Now, that's fun for us.
That may be hard to get tickets to, but we got to really focus on Vegas.
But you know who that's not fun for? The Dolphins.
Oh, all the travel.
I think the last team I ever heard doing this was Oakland, actually. Yeah, well, but traveling three
just
times
a couple,
across the country?
Yeah, just a couple years ago. Don't you remember what happened? They played San Diego in San Diego and then turned around and played L.A. in L.A. And we were going to go to both games, but we both got really sick.
And we went to one.
And we went to one, still sick, but recovering. Had to get
Chinese
soup afterwards. And it rained, yes.
It rained right on our parade.
Right.
REN,
but if you remember, the Dolphins stayed here. They stayed on the West Coast, and they practiced at facilities out here. So
Tannehill brought us back.
He did. Fourth quarter. The whole game, we were pretty miserable. We felt like crap, and the team was playing like crap. And then in the fourth quarter, Tannehill lit it up.
Yeah, and our team scored whatever it was, 12 points, 13 points. Mm-hmm. Another
case,
offensive blowout. You know, just incredible.
Managed two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Yeah, and no other touchdowns in the game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the final score of that? Like 17-13
or something?
Like something?
That. We barely won the game against a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
For making his first NFL start.
Hey, if you've never been to our website, twooldolphins.com, the featured image for our website, the banner, is from that game.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
well,
really cool.
Have you ever been to our website?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. It has a, you know, I'm not a big web guy, you know.
I
just do my thing and work all day. But hey, what a fun season. Would you have ever dreamt that we were going to end the season?
No.
Saying this was a fun season?
No.
That this season. I mean,
still scratching my
head.
How could we have 5 wins and say it's a fun season? You know?
Yeah, because we had 5 wins with 80 different players.
Yep.
We had 5. We had 5 victories with 18 rookies playing, maybe even more, like you said.
Yep. Because if you're looking at if you're studying the analytics, if you're looking at the angles, if you're looking at growth, if you're looking at development, it's green arrow up, man. It is.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean, we would have never in a million years have said, Parker, we're now excited. And, you know, like we said earlier, you know, signing Parker to 4 years, I couldn't be happier.
And who would have thought that 6 months ago? Alex Sainz would have stabbed me in the back.
I would have stabbed me in the face if I
said, hey, we're going to sign him for 4 years and I love it. It's like, what? Yeah, are you on drugs?
I'll be like, yeah, we are first. No, but or that I'm now happy with Gesicki.
Yes.
I can't emphasize that enough, how great that is.
Yeah.
You know, that we really do have those two weapons, and that Williams is going to be back, We know we're going to find a running back.
Hey, here's the other thing is I kind of wanted to talk about the team going into next year. I brought it up by position, right? And we've sort of skirted around it quite a bit. But like, look at wide receiver, because I think that's one of the key decisions.
That's our strongest.
Right. So we've got
Scott, different to Parker, you. If there's a stud wide receiver, I want to draft him. Okay.
Yeah, I'll always say that. Yeah.
I will never pass up a guy that's going to be a difference maker. We have great. We have good receivers.
Yeah, I don't agree with you, except. To say that anytime at any position you have somebody that's next level, you know, best player, not only best player at the position, but best player difference maker, then I agree.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I'm shunning the wide receiver position. It is my 100% lowest priority in this draft.
Yeah, I don't want a Carew in the second round, okay?
If we were to trade up and spend an extra pick to get a wide receiver, I would get online and personally eviscerate Greer.
Yeah. So wide receiver is our strongest position, par none.
Yep.
Our special teams.
Okay, well, hold on. Mm-hmm. So we've got Parker. We've got Williams. We signed
Ford.
Hearns.
There.
We signed Hearns to an extension, right?
Which is good. He's a big receiver.
Ford seems to have stepped up. The question marks for me are now, what do we do? We extended Grant, but I'm worried about him, okay?
Yeah, he's an injury-prone guy.
Grant and Wilson.
Available.
Right. But he's also small. He's streaking down the sideline, that smallness is making a difference because the taller corners
are. But the Patriots couldn't cover Wilson. They couldn't cover him either.
Yeah, well, you got to put him in the right position. You got to put him in a position where he can get an angle on a tall corner where the height doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Slants, crossing patterns, outs, you know.
I think our old offensive coordinator did a good job of that. Let's see. I hope the new one does as well.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, him fielding punts and kick returns, you know, just as a special teamer alone, he showed us the value he has this year.
Tremendous value. I mean,
but
how many receivers are we going to keep
on this team? We got an awful lot. What are we doing with Grant and Wilson? That's my question.
Put them on the practice squad.
Can't.
For sure, there's three guys that are 100%, right? I mean, barring an injury, of course, you know, Parker, Williams, Hearns, they're pretty much, I think, set, those guys. Ford, it's one of those bubble guys, unfortunately, even as good as he was.
Yeah.
Wilson, I think, will be ahead of him. And Grant, if he's healthy, you got to have him in there because we saw what he did on those punt returns, on those kickoff returns. He's exciting. Nice.
Yep.
But it's a good problem to have.
Yep.
Wide receiving is good. Very solid. Running back is.
I'm not sure we have a running back at all, really.
Well,
I mean,
listen,
you can't look at Laird and say he is.
No, but Laird's a guy you want on your team. But he's your second, third string running back.
Yeah.
But
could turn into a Danny Woodhead type, right? But never a starter.
He's a guy you plug in when there's an injury. We need a running back running back is a weakness. It's a huge weakness right now.
Certainly. The one thing that still is a head scratcher is that Ballage got worse from Gase to Flores. I don't get that. Maybe that's the reason that O'Shea is gone.
Our running back development was horrific.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, it was just not – well, then again, we got rid of Drake, who did great. And listen, the people who departed from Miami
– they're all doing fantastic. I mean, two of them are in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and you know how many – you know, our defensive end had 11 and a half sacks.
And Phillips, 9 and a half.
And Phillips, Phillips had 9.5 when he had 4 with Miami, whatever it was in his career.
Yep. And so
we didn't develop that very well.
Yeah, so we had players that we did not
develop under.
Yep.
Under these guys, I would have loved to.
Yeah, it was Gase
that
got rid of them. So
Yeah, I know. That's why I was saying under these guys, I would have loved to have seen that. And but yeah, the guys that we gave up. I mean, Tunsil, All Pro, like you said, Fitzpatrick, All Pro. It's hard to. But I think that 18.
What a difference maker he was! He flipped that Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, but okay. But having said that, that 18th pick now is extremely valuable because we could get that quarterback maybe that we like, that we think is going to be there, or trade up. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility because of that pick. It needed to be done for a guy who didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
We can't forget that. You know, he's that beautiful girlfriend that didn't want to be with you. You had to move on.
That's true.
Okay, so that's what we did. Yep,
that's a pretty good analogy. That's a metaphor right there.
That's the way I look at it, man. That's what it was. I mean, God, it would have been awesome if it would have worked out, but it was not going to work out. So next, and let's move on. Let's get guys that want to be in Miami, that want to play our scheme, that fit our scheme.
Yep.
You know, that does what Flores wants to do, which we obviously know that he seems right on the money, at least on the defensive side of the ball.
And with his history as a scout even, right, in personnel, I think he'll be a huge influence on Greer and that staff, and that it hopefully will line up with the scheme that he wants to employ, and things will work out for us. And this will be the first real step towards that, right? Last year was like a toe in the water, and this year it'll be stepping into the water up to our thighs. So,
And we got, after next season, a couple of first round picks still available to us.
Yep. A couple more.
And a couple of seconds. Yeah. And a couple of seconds. So we're going to have 4 high picks again, giving us tremendous flexibility. Not to mention, Scott, we haven't touched up on it. We're going to have 120 plus million bucks that needs to be extremely wise in the way we use it. To get these, not to get these washed up old players. I'm tired of that.
Yes.
Getting guys that are, you know.
Yeah. And I felt very good about that exact topic, listening to the Greer Flores postseason press conference, the longer one. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, they do their end of season press conference where they were both at the table and the Armandos of the world, like, I don't remember exactly who was asking the question at the time, but throwing that one exact topic right at Greer. It's like, and he's like, we're going to be responsible. We know we have a lot of money under the cap, but we're not going to spend it unless everything fits and makes sense for the team.
It's an asset. That asset will be there. That's what I've been trying to explain. That asset will be there the next season.
That's right.
When we have a lot of money and we'll be able to say, hey, we found the people we wanted, and we're not just going to throw the money just because we have it, you know, just go to the mall and spend all your money just because you have a credit limit.
Yep.
You know, I'm really excited about seeing the Dolphins like that.
And some of it we're using, I don't think it's under 20 anymore because we're using some of it. The Parker extension
just
is kind of
all
example.
Guys.
Right. And
like
nothing was right. And nothing was more frustrating to me than seeing, you know, even though they weren't superstar level talent guys like Miller and what was the defensive end there that went to the Giants. But when those guys left Miami, that I'm like, we drafted these guys. They're the best guys that we've drafted in our draft at the time for years. And there they are walking out the door. We weren't securing our.
Yeah, we were letting
the
young
point is
walk.
The point is we were letting our own guys, our own talent walk. So
we should have a show right at sometime in March around my birthday there, March 27th, maybe before, when we do have some impact players that we have signed.
Yeah, well, let's definitely do one episode between now and before the start of free agency. Let's do a pre free agency episode and then a follow on that's a free agency episode while it's going on. Certainly
there you go.
to cover things that we do. And then we'll, and each time we'll be touching on the draft as we do more and more research until we go there. I can't wait, man. This can be an experience.
Well, what an exciting year. What great fun doing this with you, Scott. A dream come true.
Yeah.
And just so much fun.
And this is going to be our best year for the podcast upcoming. It's going to be our best.
Oh.
We're going to go to
the best off season we've ever had.
Yeah. Yep. So much to talk about. So much to be excited about. Traveling to see games, traveling to see the draft. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Oh, great year, man. It's going to be fantastic. 2020 is going to be a year that's going to turn our franchise around.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in today.
Awesome. Thank you.
And looking forward to having you in the same room and making a few little changes here and there for season 3 as we start it. But this is the end of season 2. So again, happy new year to you and to everyone out there. And go Dolphins.
Likewise, thank you. Go Dolphins, man.
Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Rick DeJesus and Adelitas Way for allowing us to use their music throughout our podcast. Absolutely kick-ass rock out of this Las Vegas band. And if you get the chance to see them live, don't miss it. They put on a great show every single time. The Two Old Dolphins would also like to thank the band Tartanic. We love those bagpipes and drums, and we've got them in the podcast too. Guarantee get the chance to see them live at the fair or wherever they may be. They put on an entertaining show. It's a blast. Don't miss any.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolls Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!